This is episode 18 of What's Been Better. This week, we're talking about showing up. Whether you have a wall up, you're unwilling to change, or you're hyper-emotional, how you show up in your relationship will determine if you receive peace and true joy. If you've been here before, you know we cuss. And if you're new here, please do not get offended by how we emphasize.
Exactly.
All right, but before we get started, like, share, subscribe, do something with this episode, but do not keep it for yourself. We love reviews and we will take any of those that are positive.
Exactly. And that's a follow direction kind of thing. We don't need no negativity in this space. Thank you very much.
It's a call to action. Call to action. Well, how you doing?
I'm good, Sylvia. How are you?
I'm good. We're trying a new recording setup, so this should be interesting. I mean, I kind of like the look of it so far, and it's kind of easy and breezy. I'm good with it.
I'm hoping for the best, honey.
Look, all of my fingers, toes, everything, crossed. Well, anyway, let's get started.
Yes, ma'am. So, what's been better?
Okay, so... I don't know. Did it rain really, really hard at your house, like out of nowhere the other day, like almost like tornado type?
Yes, it did.
Scariest shit ever. All right. So that came out of nowhere. And I keep my eye on the weather. So this was like fucking weird for me to not understand that, like, the sky was going to fall.
Coming. Right. You see it coming. It's crazy.
So tomatoes blew over. Peas blew over.
Oh, man.
Hydrangeas broke. I mean, just everything. I was like, this is gonna be terrible. Just awful. Yeah. I went out there, everything was like, we're fine.
So it didn't happen?
The peas blew over and they were nearly done. So I was like, it's okay. The tomatoes we were able to just like prop back up and just push them back up. But everything else. I mean, like, all the melons are just like,
so they weathered the storm.
There were so many peppers that my pest control guy got a whole bag of peppers today. Like,
oh, wow.
A gallon sized bag of peppers.
Oh, wow.
The herbs, same thing. I was just like, take this grocery bag and go, because it was so much that I was scared that everything was going to go to seed and then it wouldn't keep growing. And I still got the whole rest of the summer. I've only made one jar of salsa.
Oh.
So I got 9 more to go.
Okay.
So, yeah. But that's what's been better.
I'm so happy that it wasn't a catastrophe, because it could have been.
Yes.
Because I saw your reels and I was like.
Yeah. I was terrified. Like, legitimately terrified, because I was like, if everything blows over, am I willing to start over?
Yeah.
Like, I was willing to start over when those peppers were dying, because it was like, oh, it's still early. We could still figure it out. It's still early. It's still early. Now, I'm not starting over. Like, we'll just wait till the fall and just be done with it then, because But
I hear you.
So what's been better for you?
Well, it's another week that's gone by.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Like, every day, it's like, just to get through a day is a blessing, right? But what I will say, my trees, because we talked about my trees, I wouldn't say ad nauseum, but I love my little trees outside.
They're so cute.
They are. And they're growing. And I just love the fact that they're growing. But one of them was not. Like, I don't know how it happened. It just...
It's not the one that was pulled up, was it?
Mm-mm.
Oh, no.
No, because that tree, I replaced it. I put it further in the back. Right?
Okay.
But I don't know how I missed this, because it was fine until it wasn't. And so we were looking outside. Tommy said, you got a light-skinned tree out there. And it was dying. I don't know what happened that it died, but it literally died right before our eyes. It was just getting lighter and lighter and lighter and lighter. So on Sunday, I just went and pulled that bad boy up, dropped it in the trash, and went to Lowe's and got me another one. I'm just not going to sit here and lament over a dead tree.
No.
Same. So I got another one, and that is better.
Okay.
My son came for the weekend. It was a little chaotic at first, but it ended on a night, on a better note. I'll say that. Right.
Better.
So
okay.
I was determined that I'm going to have a good relationship with my son.
And so you shall, right? Because
yes.
What you want,
Once you're back.
Once you're back. Right.
What I understand about saying that now, though, is nobody said it was a clear path.
Right.
You got to work at that shit. Ooh. You really do. And you have to, even when you feel like you're defeated, when you feel like this mofo ain't going to learn nothing, you got to change that thought process.
Yep.
He'll figure it out. I'm proclaiming.
Mm-hmm.
I'm declaring. I'm manifesting. I'm all of the things. I'm praying. You know, I'm fasting. Like, there are a lot of things that I'm working on doing just to have a better relationship with my son. So that is being better. I have a determination more so than I ever have.
Okay. Well, then that's good. Speaking of manifesting, I put out a whole video about manifesting yesterday because I still had not talked about my job, like at all. I don't know. But I was cleaning up some stuff and I found my original list of what I wanted to do, like what my options were. And I was like, I haven't talked about this, because I got to finally meet the people I work with in person this weekend.
Oh, so you never have?
Never had I met those people in person. It's always been on the computer. Always.
Oh.
Never had I met them.
Did you see each other on the computer?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, but like, okay. It just wasn't in person.
Never. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we got to go to the National Center for Sibling Human Rights and view a movie screening. And then there was a panel discussion. And then, like, I just got to talk with all the people that I work with. So it was very cool.
That's nice.
Drew and I went to the research center that I go to down there every week, which was cool because he still hadn't been there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was just, I was like, this is what manifesting looks like.
Well, what did he think about it?
He thought it was cool because they had a whole architecture section.
Okay.
So he was looking at all the like architecture history books and like the Black architect books. And so he was just like, oh, this is neat. And then NPR's StoryCorps. I don't know if you've ever heard. It's basically this. Two people sit down, ask each other questions that are related. So it could be two people that are like, one person had a baby 20 years ago, and the other person is just now pregnant, and they're like, I don't know what to do. How did you handle this? You know, whatever. Like, they're in the same kind of circumstances.
Yes.
Or it could be like mother and daughter or whoever. We were talking to the people about that because he was like, well, this would be cool. And I was thinking, what are we going to ask each other? So after 21 years, what is there to talk about?
Right.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. Well,
I'm glad you had that experience.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. Mm-hmm. And all the people that I work with are very cool and super knowledgeable about genealogy and history and Atlanta and, you know, just all the moving parts. So
like minds were in the same space.
Yes. Yes. Yeah,
that's so cool when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So. Well,
let's get to this, because I know you came across something and that's what triggered this episode for you. So let's.
Yes, ma'am.
First of all, tell people what you read, where you read it, what you saw, all that.
Okay. So let me see if I can go back to it real quick.
Okay.
So Shirley D.P. Austin on Marriage Incorporated, Life, Love, and Marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give her a shout out today. She said, as believers, we seek to be Christ-like. Even a non-believer seeks to be patient, kind, loving, forgiving, disciplined, etc. So question, how do you think this will happen? And then she said, answer, by showing up when it's time, right? Showing up when it's time to show patience, kindness, love, forgiveness, etc. Those muscles will never be strong if you keep breaking under pressure, if you keep being reactionary instead of responsive, if you keep being reactionary, being tit for tat, stonewalling, gaslighting, being defensive, etc., you'll never experience true joy in your marriage and what it feels like to experience peace that passes all understanding. And then she said, remember, the enemy wants to break you down. God wants to build you up. You choose which way you will go. And I thought about that. And I was, when I was thinking about that, I thought about my son this weekend. So it wasn't just marriages, it's relationships.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about don't do this. And I hate when you do that. And, you know, we say those things, but the person hearing it on the receiving end gets defensive.
Yeah.
If they start working on how they respond instead of reacting to what's being said, things could change. Because if you respond in a way that's loving, it really invites the other person to do the same thing. Right. And so it's like showing up. We need, when we're presented with a way to change instead of doing the same thing, what if we actually showed up?
How do you get to a point where you accept that invitation or that request from your partner, though? Like, what do you think has to happen for you to finally go, you know what? Maybe they'll stop asking me this or this 12 times or once a year or whatever. Like, what if I just try it? Mm-hmm. Or like, how do you get to that point? Like, what's your suggestion? Like, how do you get to the point where you finally go, okay, maybe I'll think about it?
I'm thinking about how I'm feeling, right? Mm-hmm. If I am feeling annoyed by a way that my person is showing up, like I'm trying to use an example. I'll use an example of Tommy not making a bed up. Mm-hmm. If I get annoyed every time he doesn't make up the bed, who is really getting that? I am.
Yeah.
He does not benefit from me getting annoyed. He doesn't feel my annoyance.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I decide he might not ever make up the bed, I don't know. I can tell him I would appreciate you making up the bed. But if he doesn't, who is going to benefit from the bed being made up?
Mm-hmm.
He might, but I really am, because that's my love language. So yeah. I'm going to start taking care of me. That's really what it boils down to. Like, really start recognizing, if you get mad, who's going to receive your anger?
Okay. So I guess what I'm trying to figure out is how do you communicate this in a way that still expresses that you are annoyed as fuck,
mm-hmm.
but isn't an annoyance
to the other person?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we don't know how they're going to receive that, because they can receive that as a nag every time.
Yes.
And so I can't be responsible. Like, I think we take it on as though we get frustrated if they perceive it as a nag, when we have mm-hmm. to let that go, right? Mm. We still have to say it, though. Like, I would really appreciate you making up the bed, man. And then when they do make it up, and I'm just using this as an example, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to notice when they are doing the smallest of things that is a win, or is a thing that brings us joy. So if they do the smallest thing, if we thank them for it, I think the hope is that they'll continue to do it.
Right. I guess you have to just see.
Yeah, look for it. It's catching someone doing what you desire instead of catching them when they're doing stuff that you don't like.
Or waiting on them to do what you don't like.
Right. Because when that happens, you're actually getting back what you put out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what you want wants you back. So I want to catch them in the act of doing something wrong. Well, you're going to get that back.
Right. Right.
So if we want them to do something different, it's us looking for them doing something different.
Okay, I get that. I'll give you that. I think it's I'm pondering so much stuff about this.
Okay.
Because I think about, like, in all the, not even just my marriage, just any kind of relationship, I always mm-hmm. feel like, yeah, I'm hyper reactive, hyper responsive. Mm-hmm. Very highly emotional, but I've told you before, it's because I am interacting with a bunch of people that are introverted, a bunch of people mm-hmm. that are like, they have a wall up, a bunch of people right. who, you know, at some point they were told, like, toughen up, or
right.
no one cares about your emotions, or we don't have time for that, or whatever. So they're just like, they're not expressive like
mm-hmm.
I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am right. like, you know exactly how I feel. Right. Right. But it's not helpful to me to say what I need, say what I want all the time, because how it's conveyed, yes, comes out as a nag, comes out as a whine, comes out as a just an emotional reaction. Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel crazy. Right. Because there's the other person who I heard something today. It was like, they're like devoid of these emotions because they have like attachment issues, mm-hmm. and avoidance issues, mm-hmm. of like, mm-hmm. they've been told these things. Mm-hmm. So they avoid their emotions at all costs. Mm-hmm. And it makes their partner feel crazy because their partner, yeah. is like, why aren't you feeling? Why aren't right. you right. expressing?
Yeah.
Instead of just realizing, like, they don't have that. That's not in them.
Well, once you know it, do you ask, like get curious? Like, what's happening when you do this? Like, we just actually say that kind of thing.
I think in a lot of cases I have, but I think, you know, that defense thing comes up because, again, you gotta, mm-hmm. you gotta keep that wall up. You gotta keep that, mm-hmm. avoidance up, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. As a listener, has this happened to y'all? Like, you have this situation where the other person always views what you ask as a nag, or their response makes you think that it's a nag? Like, I don't know, because that's definitely how I feel. It's like, mm-hmm. either their response makes me feel like it's a nag, or their lack of response makes me feel like I'm nagging. Even though I'm just like you said, like, can you make the bed? Can you do the thing? Or, mm-hmm. how do you feel about whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm learning, because, mm-hmm. I ain't there yet. I'm definitely learning to still make a request.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I don't make a request, then it's saying that I'm okay with how things are. Right. And then at the same time, I'm learning to measure myself, like, mm-hmm. to check in to see, Lori, are you annoyed right now? Because if you're annoyed right now, they're going to hear the annoyance. They're not going to hear your request.
I get that.
That's just me deciding to practice that. Mm-hmm. I also recognize that what I know, other people might not know. That is very frustrating, I will say. Because I feel alone a lot of times, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like, you know, like, where do I go? Do I just go on an island by myself? You know,
mm-hmm.
I really get frustrated, because it's not just sometimes in a marriage or with our children. It's with people.
Yeah.
And then the question is, do y'all give a damn? Do you care? And I can't go there, because I have to remember that, Lori, you live in this world, I'm going to say, alone in a lot of ways, because it's the world according to Lori.
Yeah.
The world according to them might be different. They might not think about how I perceive things. They might perceive things totally different than the way I'm perceiving it. So,
okay, your frustration... There's a lady on TikTok. I will find her page. I will shout her out. Next, when I post this episode, I'm going to shout out this lady. Mm-hmm. But she has a what the fuck journal.
Okay.
In all those moments that she is just like, fuck, for whatever, she just pulls, mm-hmm. her journal out and she writes what the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And she, mm-hmm. just keeps writing it until that is like kind of released.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So much so that, yeah. I had to go and get a journal so I could start doing that, because I was like, that's probably going to help. Because there's so, yeah. much time, so many times that it's like, I want to talk, or I want to do, or I want to, mm-hmm. whatever, or, mm-hmm. I see something or whatever. And it just makes me say, what the fuck?
Right.
So to be able to just write that out and like, not have to, because I'm not great at journaling.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I would be, but I just am not. But to do something like that is still journaling in my head.
Right.
Because I don't have to write out all my emotions and how I feel. I could just keep writing what the fuck.
Yeah.
You can. Repeatedly.
If it helps, right? Like,
yes. I feel like it's going to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it can. And even for those out there, you got to ask yourself, how can you be relieved? What can you do to relieve yourself when that frustration comes? Because again, you shouting at somebody or cussing your kids out or yelling at them, they're not going to hear what you're asking.
Nope.
They just not. And they're going to perceive it as an act. So if we practice those things over and over and over, if they hear it, they're ready for it. They're ready for the nag.
Yeah.
And then boom, the resistance goes up and you're not going to get what you want.
Yeah.
We got to do something different.
So on both ends. On both right. ends, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Because I feel like if you know that the nag is coming, do the fucking thing then.
You would think.
You would think. But maybe you just like being nagged. I don't know.
I don't have a clue unless you ask that person in a time when everything is calm. Like, mm-hmm. Hey, can I ask you a question?
Yeah, but that's going to turn from it being calm to not being calm.
It could, or it might not.
Yeah.
Right. Like you might catch a time when they're like, oh, I just want to aggravate you, or or I really just don't care, or it's not as important to me as it is to you. And then it goes to, well, if it's important to me, can it be important to you?
Right.
Because really, that is the relationship. We're teaching people to have empathy, because I think that's what it boils down to. People lack empathy. Mm-hmm. They don't care how it bothers you.
Right.
You don't matter. Especially kids.
Yeah. I guess it just, yes, we're all in this world by ourselves, but it's these interactions where we have to interact with people that I don't understand why we're not trying to have peace. I don't know. It's
I'm about to say something that might shock some people.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I think we get into a place where you have people who care and people mm-hmm. who don't care. And it's like, can I just remove myself from people who don't care? Like, get to a place where you just, I don't care who it is, right? But that's what we are really dealing with. Because growing up, I'm going to just ask you this. When you were growing up and your mom was yelling, did you care about what she was yelling about?
First of all, do I remember my mom yelling?
Anybody yelling or chastising you? Did you care about what she was chastising you about?
Yes.
You did?
My aunt was the yeller, not necessarily my mom. And yes, because I have extreme people-pleasing tendencies.
I hear you.
As the baby, as the large age gap, as mm-hmm. the different father, as the just different. And always being reminded that I was different. Mm-hmm. I gave a fuck about what everybody was saying. If you were yelling, if you were whispering, if you were writing it down.
In the moment, did you share with them? Like, oh, I'm sorry, right in the moment? Or did you resist?
No, I think I've just always been a crier.
Okay.
I've never had where I was just angry. Mm-hmm. I think I was angry a lot of times because, I didn't know how to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
I still struggle with how to communicate a lot of times. I've always been socially awkward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Especially in situations where, I feel hyper emotional or reactive mm-hmm. to something and mm-hmm. somebody else is just like stonewalling it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then I'm
mm-hmm.
like, yo, I'm crazy. At this point, because why is this affecting me? What's wrong with me that this is even like doing anything to me? And they're just perfectly even, you know?
Mm.
Or, my mom was not that I remember my mom ever being a yeller. No.
Well, both my parents were yellers.
Sister, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Her sister took up, you know, all the oxygen in the room.
Damn.
So, till her last breath. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So,
So as I think about how I grew up, one, I didn't like people yelling. Mm-hmm. It scared the bejeebies out of me. You know, I was like instantly startled, especially my dad. He had a big bass voice.
Okay.
And if he went an octave up from that, oh my God, it was just like the world was coming to an end.
Rattling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so when he yelled and I heard my name in the yell, oh my God, I just thought life was going to come to an end. Over time, I knew he was just, you know, all bark and no bite. But I was afraid. And when I'm afraid, the secondary emotion is anger, you know?
Oh, okay.
So I'm afraid initially, and then I'm angry.
Okay.
And so with that anger, it's like, I ain't doing this. I mean, I'll do it, right? Because I have to. I don't want to get my ass beat, because we had beatings back in the day. We had belts and switches and shit. Okay. Like,
see, that wasn't, I've never gotten a whooping.
Oh, girl. What? God
again,
bless you.
I'm not going to say I was like the model child, but that's just not, I've never had a whooping. Let's just put it like that. Now, did I do dumb shit when I got older? Yes. Did I do dumb shit probably because I never got a whooping? Probably, yes. Did I do like life risking shit because no one was ever, my parents weren't like hyper over parenting, you know, mm-hmm. like they weren't like mm-hmm. over corrective.
Yeah.
I don't know how to put it like that. So
right.
I just didn't get a bunch of lessons mm-hmm. of like, you know, like Drew will just run down all the life lessons. I'm like, I've never in my life heard any of that, you know, of like, not everybody likes kids and you're supposed to be, you know, seen, not necessarily heard all the mm-hmm. time and mm-hmm. shit. Nah.
Oh, so they say that. Yeah.
For what? I wasn't talking anyway.
Right. I see.
I just, because I always was worried about doing something right.
I hear you.
So there was no space. Yeah. There was no space for me to like, say or do anything anyway, because mm-hmm. if I said or did anything anyway, somebody was going to make fun of me for it. Somebody was going to have something to say about it. It was mm-hmm. going to be something. So it was just like, I would just be quiet. I would stay in my room. I wouldn't want to necessarily be around people because it was like, everybody's mm-hmm. got something to say. I don't want you to say anything to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was that met with like, oh, I'm just being evil, or you know how she is, or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's still, regardless, it still didn't work out in my favor.
I hear you.
So I still have all this trauma around people pleasing.
I feel you. See, and I grew up vindictive then. So I grew up like, okay, you yelling at me?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get your ass back. But it wasn't like I'm saying it like that, but mm-hmm. it was still that way. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to make up my room when I feel like it.
Okay.
Or are you yelling at me? I'm going to show you that I don't give a damn, you know. And then that carried over into my adulthood, even in my like first marriage.
Okay.
Are you yelling? That's what we doing now? Okay. I got
okay.
you.
Okay.
And I didn't know the difference of, you know, like I didn't understand vindictiveness, right? So it kind of going back to this nag, right? The receiver of the nag. Either they understand that I love this person and I want to let them know I hear you, you know, or you know what? You keep nagging, I'm going to keep doing the same thing. Not realizing that they're asking for something. They're really mm-hmm. asking for you to be a different way, for you to have more compassion, but you're not showing compassion by asking for compassion.
Right.
You know, and
right.
so that's why I'm saying if we can check ourselves, you know, like, if we're yelling at our children, check in what you're doing. Are you really putting out what you want back? Are you yelling at your children thinking their children are going to be obedient to you? That they want to be obedient to you when you're yelling at them?
I would also say like too, even if you're not yelling, what you say and how you say it is, it makes a huge difference. Let me just say that.
Yes. Yes. If you're not, even if you're not yelling and you say these snarky ass comments, like, you know, what you think, or, you know, like you're using your attitude with it or being sarcastic, like
mm-hmm.
your children still receive the sarcasm and it hits differently on that end, because guess what? How would you feel if they did it to you?
Right.
If your child treated you like you treat them, at certain instances, you would probably try to slap the shit out of them, like, or something else. Maybe you're not the abusive type like the old school parents be, but you would do something else, you know?
Yeah. Backhanded comments or speaking like horrible shit over your child because that's what your parent did, or just any of that. Like, I think also we have to realize that people have the tools that they have at the time that they have them.
Mm-hmm. But we have the tools, and that's which, again, Sylvia, that's what I'm going back to. If you're presented with a way to be better, practice doing better. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'll give you
practice
that.
Because you keep yelling at your children, or you keep saying this to your wife or your husband, you're not going to get what you want back.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not.
Yeah.
You're going to be alone.
And that goes siblings, cousins, aunties, everybody that you have to interact, people that you work with. Mm-hmm. If you talk wild to people, or if you being snarky with people and they're not like matching your energy with that, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like this, if your relationship is like, oh, let's have a snark off, you know, whatever. That's one thing. Like, you just playful banter. That's just banter. Mm-hmm. But if you coming at somebody this way every time, like, it's not.
Yeah,
the relationship that you have with that person, starting from that point, it could either keep going down, or you got you have a long way to repair that relationship.
Right.
But I also understand. Something just made sense. Remember when we were talking to Phoenix and she was like not having a relationship with people, and how we were saying like when people die, like families just scatter.
Mm-hmm.
I get it now.
Okay.
Because those people might still be the glue that is holding the family together, good, mm-hmm. bad, or other. And once mm-hmm. they are gone, it's like, I don't have to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now I
guess. Yes.
Now
you got the matriarch, you got the patriarch in the family who's mm-hmm. like, listen, don't fight with each other. Just, you know, come to dinner. And they do it on the strength of mom, or they do it on the strength of dad. But mm-hmm. in the back of their mind, they are like, I don't have to put up with this shit.
Mm-mm.
So you're absolutely right.
I get why so many people don't interact with their family. Like, I see so many videos about that on TikTok, mm-hmm. of people who are like, them not my people.
Right.
Like my aunt, they used to take up all the oxygen in the room. She used to say there's a difference between family and relatives.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she ever included herself with that sometimes.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah, because we can be hypocritical too. Right. Like, for example, you telling your children to wash the dishes after they use the dish, wash the dish. But you set your shit up on the countertop and you don't wash it.
Mm-hmm.
They watch you,
mm-hmm.
and then you say, don't do what I say, or don't do what I do what I say. That's bullshit, y'all. Come mm-hmm. on. Yeah. Like, let's stop being hypocritical. And if we want our children to practice certain behaviors, let's practice them ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's that simple.
It's a lot to take on if you don't practice it, though. Like, it's just a lot. And well, I get it.
Yeah, if you don't practice it, what you're doing is you're practicing the other stuff. And you're going to keep getting what you keep putting out.
Yeah. Do you think that also, too, a lot of this is because people don't think that they deserve the peace and the true joy? Like, somebody robbed them of that. And they don't, even if those people are long dead and gone, mm-hmm. they're still harboring those words, those actions, those mm-hmm. whatever.
Yeah, okay. I agree. I think deep, yes, girl, you hit the nail right on the head. I think inside, if they really told the truth, they would say that they don't believe that they deserve better.
Yeah.
And so it starts with you actually affirming yourself. I do deserve better. And mm-hmm. how do you deserve better? By treating myself better. Because the thing that you want for somebody else to do it yourself. Like, for instance, when my children, I had adult children living in the house at one point, and sometimes they wouldn't wash the dishes, you know, mm-hmm. after I told them several times to wash the dishes. And I modeled that. I washed my own dishes. I said, listen, wash your dishes, right? Then I started washing dishes. I said, and I told them, I said, listen, if you leave dishes in this house, I want a clean kitchen. I'm going to make sure my kitchen is clean. And somehow they started doing it. It was wild. But they started making sure the kitchen, they didn't want to leave the kitchen dirty ever anymore. Like, because I said, if I see these dishes, I'm going to wash them. Just know you didn't do it. Somebody did it.
Which is just worse. It's so much worse to have that on you of like, oh boy. It's like a, I don't want to say an omen, but it's like,
yeah.
You're going to have some bad juju if you don't wash these dishes now. Because it's been like spoken, you know?
Right. And that's the intent. Because I said, I'm not going to yell anymore. I'm not going to be upset anymore. Because all I'm doing is hurting myself. And I want a clean kitchen. I deserve a clean kitchen. You see what I'm saying? It goes back to my level of deserving. I deserve the best. And if I'm not going to get it from you, guess who's going to do it? I'm going to do it. And I ain't going to say shit else. So don't ask me for a damn thing. So that's where you go. He's like, don't ask me for something else.
I was like, it's got to be something, some end all be all thing. Okay.
Yeah. Don't
that's
ask
why they wash them damn dishes.
For money, don't ask me for nothing. Because if I ask you for something and you don't do it, what you expect from me? I am not the one. Not today, not tomorrow, not ever. And again, it came back. It came from me to saying to myself, I desire what I deserve. I deserve what I desire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I value myself.
And okay,
if you're
but
not gonna
like,
value me,
how do you begin to value yourself so much that you, that is it? Like you outwardly portray that at all times. Like, because I think there's so many people who, I'll take myself. I value myself. There's a lot of shit I'm not going to deal with. Mm-hmm, I'll give myself that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like sometimes I could hold back, or I could put myself back, or I could do whatever. Like I still have the I'll get happy later. I still have that a little bit. Mm-hmm.
But what is
now,
later?
Shit, I don't know when later is. But I also have, I also am balancing that with, as of right now, this whole of like putting Sylvia towards the center of like, this is shit I'm not going to deal with. Just like how I was telling you, like, I will cut these locks and not fucking deal with it because it will drive me fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. But that's myself. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's when it comes to other people, I'm still like, I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. How do you get to a point of being like, I said what the fuck I said for any and everybody, you know, even when we were talking to Phoenix and she was like, I don't care if it's your mama, my child, whoever, like.
She's talking about the Bugetto Gardner, y'all. Y'all might not know who Phoenix is, but Bugetto Gardner, you know.
But how do you get to that point? Like that proclamation just is spoken so much that everybody's like, you know what? We should wash the dishes.
Mm-hmm. Say it one time and then say it again. And when you're prompted, say it again. And that's what I'm talking about now, is practicing saying the things that you want. Like, I'm not saying this again. And then don't. When you say that, or I said it once, that's enough, right? It's that. And remembering, too, when somebody, you care about somebody, and they're showing you that they don't care, say it. I don't feel like you care.
Yeah.
We're not trying to be hateful. We're sharing about how we feel. Our feelings matter, just like theirs does, because we care. We care about their feelings. And if we can care about somebody else's feelings, then we can care about our own. And I understand that parents put their children and other people before them. We got to stop that shit because it ain't helpful. And when they grow up, guess what? If you show your children that you're the last one, they're going to teach you that you're the last one when they get older.
Shit.
Because you're teaching them that you don't matter.
I'll give you
that.
And
you're saying to yourself that you don't matter.
Yeah.
But you have to teach your children that you matter along with them. Just like for Christmas. They get all these damn gifts. What gifts are they giving anybody? Teach your children how to give other people gifts. Because if they grow up not giving and all they do is receive, you're teaching them that they're entitled and that nobody else deserves, but they do.
Mm.
It's the little things that happen over and over again that become a habit.
Yeah.
Make your children clean up their damn rooms. And them dishes.
Mm-hmm. She's not playing about these dishes, y'all.
I'm so serious. Wake their asses up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I bet you they won't do it again.
Lori, okay. Okay. Now, are you crossing over to like, well, I guess what? It's like nothing.
Okay, because it's a discomfort. Like if you tell them once and they don't do it and you know they hurt you. You know they hurt you. They know they hurt you.
Yeah.
And they found something else to do. They ain't doing nothing when they sleep. But if we teach them once, because that's not abuse. You're not beating them.
No.
You're just waking them up. And because at a time when they could have, they didn't. And so you're saying, listen, get up. I want to show you something.
Okay, make sure you say it like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not screaming, yelling.
Oh, no. Everything, again, is practiced hopefully with love. Because if we're coming with the anger, they're going to receive that anger. Get your shit together first. You're mm-hmm. frustrated? Breathe. Even if you have to go outside, I don't know, walk. Take it down.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Sally or Jen or Joe, whoever they are. Hey, what's wrong, Mom? I just want to show you something. They're going to the kitchen. You remember those dishes I asked you to watch? There they go, right there. But Mom, I got a test in the morning. It's okay. Test will be there in the morning when you get back up. You washing these dishes right now. You know, okay. We have to teach our children, and I know it'll be a discomfort for us, but if we do it now, they won't suffer later and we won't suffer later.
I'll give you that.
And they will appreciate you, I guarantee, because they ain't going to like it. They're not going to like it, and they might be annoyed at first.
Okay. Last question before we go. What's your take on all the gentle parenting? This whole trend of gentle parenting.
As it relates to what? Not disciplining or what?
Not necessarily not disciplining, but like I've just seen so many videos of people, they're like, they're trying not to yell at their kids. They try not to put their hands on their kids. They try not to do all these things. But all of them are like, I'm not a gentle parent. I'm not going to be able to do it. Is that saying that they don't have, like you're saying, like, you need to take a deep breath, you need to go for a walk, you need to do whatever, mm-hmm. because they're too reactionary?
Yeah, I would say you got to taper it down. Like you got to pipe it down because mm-hmm. your anger is really a form of fear. And that fear is I'm afraid that my children might do X, Y, and Z. You know, like I'm angry because I'm afraid of how my children might become. Right. But if we take that fear out and we look at what you want your children to be, I want you to be a responsible adult.
Mm-hmm.
Lead with what you want. We really have to rehearse what we want. I
want
you to be responsible. This is a part of you being responsible. And sometimes we have to say that over and over like a broken record, right?
Yeah.
This is part of you being responsible. But why I got to do part of you being responsible? You want to be a responsible adult? This is how you do it. You want to grow up being, and then you could take them into neighborhoods of irresponsible people. This is how irresponsible people act. Do you want that? My dad used to do that a lot. He used to take me into neighborhoods of people who behaved a certain way. And he said, you want me to drop you off here? I know that was not a really good tactic, but I was listening. I had some interesting parents, but I'm going to tell you, it really helped out because it really changed my dynamic and how I thought about myself and how I behaved.
I think we all have something that we take from our parents that are like, okay, that was helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Like my mom being hardworking, I get it now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I got it back then. I mean, I was able to work multiple jobs and take all my classes at the same time because it was like, this is just what you do. Like, she's capable of doing it. You're capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Or being like self-sufficient to a fault sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I get it. you got to learn how to depend on you.
Right.
It's good to have a partner. It's nice to have a partner. It's wonderful to have a partner. But what do you do if you can't have a partner?
Right.
Or you don't have a partner anymore. Mm-hmm. Or that partnership doesn't work out. Whatever it is. Like, what do you do? So, yeah. I'm still working on, like, my dad. But that's a whole nother
yes,
scenario.
So this soft way of, or would you say polite parenting? Or would you say it was...
Gentle parenting. Yeah, I think it was gentle parenting.
I think it's beautiful to be a gentle parent with consequences. Because you could say, hi, Joey, right? Joey, all this week. And you could probably keep a tally every time I asked you 5 times, you know, to do X, Y, and Z. And you remember when I said I'm only going to ask once? Well, I just wanted to count and see how many times when I asked you once, you didn't do it.
Mm.
So you're on restriction for 5 weeks or whatever. For every time you got a week, or for every time you got a day, I don't know. It's time for you to give me that phone or something that lets them know. I don't think it needs to go overboard, say 5 months, because kids will forget. You want the
parents will forget.
Right. You want it to be something that they get it. Like, it's home, such that they want to do differently. You don't want them to resist you and retaliate. You know, mm-hmm. You're not trying to provoke your children to be vindictive, right? You really want them to recognize, oh my goodness, I did do that. You know, hopefully you get your children to own, you know, or anybody. It's not just your children. I don't want this to turn into this parenting damn show or episode. But it's about letting people know what you want in return. Mm-hmm. And how you talk to them is really going to determine what you get back from them.
Right.
So
it's a good takeaway.
Right. Yeah.
It's a good takeaway. Okay. Yeah.
What are you taking away, Sylvia?
Really, it's the whole, like, how you approach the ask. That's mm-hmm. the difference. That, for me, it's... Because we've talked about this before, about, like, I want to do this thing, or mm-hmm. how I want to do this thing. And it's just like, no, we're not doing the thing, or it's pulling teeth to do the thing. But if you ease it in there, or if you lead by the example, mm-hmm. or if I don't make this grand statement of mm-hmm. this is what we're going to do,
right,
then it could get done.
Yeah. Just,
it's kind of like intermittent fasting versus, like, counting calories.
Yeah.
You know, if you count calories, you're just like, this is some bullshit. I'm not doing this. But if you just say, okay, I'm not eating between 12, I'm only eating between 12 mm-hmm. p.m. and 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
However you fit it in is however you fit it in, but it has to stop between 12 and 8.
Right.
You can eat whatever, but it's got to be between 12. That's completely different than I can only have, like, you know, keto. I can only have 20 grams of sugar the whole entire... Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. The difficulty in doing keto. But it's the same. How you approach it, how mm-hmm. you lead with it is going to be the difference in the response or the result. Or even if it will or will not get started.
Absolutely. And you're right. That's an awesome-ass takeaway. You know, how do you lead with a thing is what mm-hmm. you get back. So if you're leading with love and patience and kindness, you're going to get that back.
Yep. All right. Well, this was quite interesting. Very interesting. Well, if you haven't already, like, share, subscribe, do something with this episode, but do not keep it for yourself. Please write us a review so that way other people can find the show as well. And thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
Bye. That's it for this week's show. I'm Lori Scott.
And I'm Sylvia Johnson. And you've been listening to What's Been Better.
A big thank you to Lagan Music, Inc. for providing our music. This show is edited and produced by us with a little help from our family and friends. We love you all.
We want to hear what's been better for you. To be a guest on the show, send us an email to questions@whatsbeenbetter.com. Or you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at What's Been Better Podcast.
Thanks for listening.